would like to remind all participants today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Tonya, the other thing, could you stop the announcing now?
Sure, I sure can.
We'll keep an eye on folks as they come in through MeetingView.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Here, we'll do our usual routine. We'll take a look at the agenda and let the last group of folks fight their way through the conferencing system and then get started. Most of the call today is going to be devoted to the matrix, especially the one that Kathy developed. And so I thought what we would do is spend a few minutes just talking about the approach to the matrix or the table, and then spend most of the time on the contents of it. Eric Bruner-Williams had a proposal which I forgot about, and so part of the reason for the repeat on the list is because it was my bad. I left that off. So I've added a slot at the end of the agenda for Eric to talk a little bit about that. There's been some conversation on the list, and I think we should continue that conversation and then maybe carry it back out to the list. And then anything else. And so the question of the day right now, a couple of things have come onto my radar in anything else. One is we've got constituency statements and now public comments and constituency statements that we need to start rolling into the content. And with your permission, I'll take that to the leadership group and we'll work that out and bring that idea back to you next time. And
Mike,
is there anything
having,
else?
Can you hear me? Mikey, this
Yeah, we were having problems,
so I don't know what question you were responding to. There's some dial-in problems.
I'm not. I'm just going through the agenda, Ken. So I just want to see if there's anything that people want to add to the agenda. This is the any other business question. That's all. Okay, I think we have an agenda. Gisela, why don't you go ahead and call the roll, and we'll get started.
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's Vertical Integration call on Monday, the 10th of May, we have Mikey O'Connor, Volker Greimann, Roberto Gaetano, Christian Orman, Paul Diaz, Sebastian Bachelet, Kathy Kleinman, Jeff Newman, Jeff Eckhaus, Stefan van Gelder, Scott Austin, Katrin Ormer, John Nevitt, Thomas Barrett, Staten Hammock, Barry Cobb, Basil Shah, Alan Greenberg, Steve Pinkos, Ron Androff, Keith Drazek, Nacho Amados, Tim Ruiz, Ken Stubbs, Christina Rosette, Jean-Christophe Vigne, Krista Papak, Phil Buckingham, Milton Muller, Michaeli Nalon, Brian Cute, Michael Pelage. From staff, we have Glenn de Saint-Géry, Mike Zupke, Margie Milam, Amy Status, Dan Halloran, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Eric Bruner-Williams, and Stephen Mutasami. If I can also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, press star 6 to mute and star 6 to unmute again. Thank you.
Thanks, Gisela. I guess we can strike the Eric proposal from the agenda since we just got apologies from Eric, so we have another 15 minutes. So, you know, mostly today I think what we want to look at is sort of where we're at, and I'm quite entranced with Kathy's summary of that. And so, Kathy, if you would be so kind as to sort of walk us through what you've done, I think that's the place we'll start today.
Great. Thank you, Mikey. I'm happy to do that. What I've circulated is a table, and it started out just as a personal effort. I was trying to do a side-by-side comparison of all the proposals on certain issues, like equal access. And it worked out for me. It was very useful to line everything up side-by-side. And so I talked to Mikey and Roberto offline, and just went ahead and kind of spent an all-nighter putting it all together. On just some of the major issues, this isn't a final or a formal or completely formal by any means, but I did go through all the proposals and line them up. And in the last call, I had mentioned flipping the axes. So that's what I did. So here, down the left side, you'll see all the proposals. I've included the ICANN board resolution at zero, and I've gone all the way down through proposals. The first column is percentage of cross-ownership, if you're looking at the registry, how much it can own of the registrar. Second column is percentage of ownership of the registry, of the registrar for the registry. A question had come up, again, just reading across the top, a question had come up about whether the ownership, the cross-ownership, could be more if the registrar agreed not to distribute the registry's TLDs. So I put that in. The equal access principle. Is equal access preserved in the proposal for whatever the main model is? That's what we're looking at there. And then going into the exceptions. There were various exceptions that were discussed, and not all proposals had exceptions, and not all proposals dealt with all the exceptions. So I just went through them. Is there a single registrant exception? In some cases, like demand media, there were variations of that. If there's a threshold, what is it? Same with the community DTLD, same with the orphan. Is equal access required in the exceptions? Here it's interesting because the exception, by definition, is a suspension of the equal access. The registry is allowed to have to distribute domain names directly or through a registrar up to the threshold, 30,000, 50,000, depending on the proposal. But the question here, the equal access really applies to whether other registrars are allowed in. Can the community DTLD be exclusive and exclusively distribute up to 30,000 or 50,000, or is it required to include other registrars if they want to distribute? So that's what that column means. Certain proposals, the next column is back-end registry providers and cross-ownership. Certain proposals limit the ability of a back-end registry service provider to be fully vertically integrated with a registrar, and two columns because that goes in both directions. Richard Tyndall has told us a lot about the reseller concerns, so I included a column with resellers. The next column is review later. There are certain proposals that say, well, let's start with certain models, the main model, but let's review it at 12 months or 18 months. And then column O is emphasize sections. Each proposal seemed to have one or more things that it really wanted to focus on that were a little different, a little tweak, something important to the proposer. And so for us, for PIR, for example, it's the efficient marketing idea that we tweak the equal access in the main model so that registrars can present a registry with certain very specific marketing proposals. But some proposals had these things, some didn't. But what I did here with the emphasized sections is try as much as possible to take direct quotes so that I wouldn't misrepresent or summarize or come to some conclusions that were not in the original proposal. And so I present it to you. I share it with you. I would prefer not to take on the editing responsibilities, especially if the group wants to use this in some way. I think somebody neutral should do that, and since I presented the PIR proposal, I'm not neutral. But I did try to be very neutral in just lining this up because I was hoping it might help us move forward. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Roberta.
Thanks, Kathy. Jeff, I see your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy, for doing this. I think it's a good way to look at it. I will note that I think we just need to all kind of look at this from our proposals because I'm not sure. I'm looking at the JN squared, and I'm not sure this is fully accurate, but I mean it was obviously a good start, and I think each proponent needs to go through it and kind of change it to what it is. I also noticed that the ICANN board resolution, I'm not sure where things were filled in, like for the third column, which is if registrar agrees not to distribute registries TLD, more cross ownership allowed. It says for the ICANN board resolution no. But I don't think the board resolution actually addressed that. So I'm not sure it's a no. I'm not sure it's a yes. I think it wasn't really talked about. So if we do decide to use this, then I just think that each of the proponents needs to go back and revise this chart.
Thanks, Jeff. Any other comments on this before I weigh in? I guess I'll finish the thought that I had, which is that maybe what we could do is hand this off to the analysis team as the folks who keep it current, and they could be the scribes and the scrubbers to keep to keep it sort of separated that way. That would be certainly one approach to handle that. The question I've got for the group is, I find this very useful because it gives us sort of a snapshot of where we are, all on one page, and really tips us over into the part of the conversation that we need to have, which is determining, where we can find consensus on these issues and how. And that was the intent of that extremely detailed matrix that I sent earlier, to which I received precisely zero responses, so that I put up in the swing and a miss or save for later column. Maybe it was a bit too granular. Tim raised the issue, and I understand that point on the list, that the language was open to misinterpretation, and there was discomfort with filling it out. So if this approach works for folks, I would be pretty darn excited about that, but I really want to have a conversation about it to make sure that this is going to be okay. And then if it is okay, we'll spend the rest of the call maybe working on some of the columns. But let's go to John.
I was just going to talk about the columns, so if you want to...
That's fine.
Fine.
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, so I think this format is very helpful. I think it's a simplified version and easy to read. So thank you, Kathy, for doing that. On the columns, the one thing that I found confusing, and especially in Kathy's description, is the equal access piece, because there's really three concepts in there, and we might need to divide those out. One is use of registrars, so that's the recommendation 19. One is equal access, and one is non-discrimination. So we've talked in the past about use of registrars being one thing, and then on the other hand, can a registry select among the registrars? So that might get into the equal access. And then when you select a group of registrars to distribute your string, can you discriminate between one and the other? So it's really three, and Kathy has them folded into one.
Thanks, John. Go ahead, Kathy.
Can I respond? John, that's really helpful. As I reviewed the proposals, often all of these concepts were folded into one under equal access or equivalent access ideas. But breaking it out makes a lot of sense and makes some of the other evaluations, especially in the exceptions, easier going forward. So that sounds great.
Cool. Tim.
Thanks. Yeah, I think John made a good point there in that regard with that column. And just in general, I think that I hope that I like the matrix, but I hope that it isn't used to restrict us. That as we see, more granularity like that John pointed out, that the matrix can be modified, and that overall, or if new ideas, should crop up, it just doesn't limit us to discussing new ideas or maybe some morphation, if you will, of a number of ideas, and that in general we don't, not just not get restricted to these things, but that we're careful how we use this to gauge consensus. And that was my bigger issue with the previous one that you had sent masterful replies to. It just concerned me the way it was constructed, that it wasn't flexible enough in the way that it was. I wasn't sure how it was going to be used, and I didn't feel it was flexible enough to be used appropriately to try to gauge consensus. And I didn't want to, respond or comment to something and then be stuck with, Tim or GoDaddy agrees with this, so you know, so does FXNet, so we have consensus on that issue, so we're done with it. I want to be careful with that, because if things change or we come to some agreement on something else, that might change the way we feel about another issue, and I want to make sure that we stay flexible enough to address that and we don't get, you know, painted into a corner, so to speak, by our responses or replies to these kinds of things. So that was my main concern with what was presented previously. But as a tool to get us to some sort of consensus, I think this is great.
That's terrific, Tim. And, you know, my approach to things where we're on such a compressed timetable, you know, I do have to remind us that we're driving through a process that normally takes 400 days and something around 50, is I'm happy to try lots and lots of stuff and also happy to change the way that we use it, especially in a situation like that. I certainly don't want to put people in a box. We want to use these tools to help us arrive at consensus as quickly as we can, if we can. And so, you know,
and I just in general on that, Mikey, I just have an issue with it regardless that, and not that I intend to try to delay anything or slow things down, but this is a huge freaking issue. And for us to say, well, here's our deadline, we've got to have some kind of something by then, and I think that's dangerous. And, you know, sure, you know, let's not try to drag this out as long as we have to, but let's take whatever time it takes if what this group is going to come up with is going to affect the market forever and a day. I don't want to be rushed to some judgment here. I want to take the time we need so that we're all comfortable with whatever we come up with.
Right. And you know, to that point, Tim, at least for me, I've always been thinking that we've really got two waves of this. We've got a wave that really is under a pretty severe time constraint, which is the first iteration, and then a broader discussion over a longer time period that has more degrees of freedom. And to the extent that we can come to consensus on something quickly, I think that's useful, because otherwise what happens is we go into the first round of the, you know, this next round, possibly with the board resolution standing. I think there is a deadline there. And so we have to balance the size and the import of the issue with the circumstances we find ourselves in. And, you know, we'll do our best. Alan, you're next.
Yeah, two comments, one philosophical, one very mechanical. The philosophical one, excuse me, in relation to what you just said, I think indeed we may have to soon start looking at, are there things that we want to recommend for the first round because we do not believe the board alternative is acceptable, and can we find things that all of us or most of us can live with to address what perhaps are believed to be crucial problems, and then look at a long-term one. That may relieve some of the pressure regarding what Tim said of whatever we do, we're going to have to live with forever. Purely mechanical one is, I note there's already a number of entries in the table where this applies, but I think it's going to grow in that the answer varies depending on the aspect you're looking at. So, you know, is there equal access to registrars? Well, it depends on whether we're talking about a single registrant case or not. So a number of the proposals are bifurcated or trifurcated, that they have different sets of rules for different groups of registries. And the table may get a mite complex if when we do that. That's it.
Thanks, Alan. All good points. And I think that as these things get complex, it will partly be up to the analysis group to figure out ways to keep it from putting us in a box or getting so complex that we can't figure it out. At the same time, essentially, this is a large and complex negotiation, and we need to put every tool in place that we can for the people who are engaged in that negotiation so that we can get to the best outcome. And so I love this as a tool because it helps summarize, but if it gets in our way, we need to immediately stop and make sure that it doesn't take us in a bad direction.
Talking about getting awake and whoever, thank you, put note 14 in front of the chat, move it.
Yeah, things got really complicated. I think Milton's hand was up, but right now the attendees aren't. Oh, there we go. Yeah, so Milton, I think you're next.
I just wanted to comment on the chart that Kathy did. I think this is a real step forward in terms of clarity, and I really appreciate it. Even though particular boxes might be filled out wrong, this whole approach of having the proposers, lined up going down rows, which you can see is just a tremendous improvement. So thank you, Kathy, for doing that. I had a couple of questions about what you meant by certain things. When you talk about transferable, what do you mean by that? For example, we have a community GTLD exception, an orphan GTLD exception. And you say yes and transferable for the MMA proposal. I just don't know what you mean by that. One of the ways that this chart might be used to further simplify things is to put indications in each of these cells which positions are inconsistent with the others in a simple kind of a black and white fashion, if that's possible. So that, for example, this business of registry and registrar cross ownership, according to this chart, it looks like nobody disagrees that that should be reciprocal, that there should be the same limits, if any limits, placed on both sides of that equation. If that's the case, then we can kind of tick that issue off as something that we agree on. Another example is single registrant. Let's say there are people who think there should not be an exception, and there are people who do. Those are where the differences kind of jump out fairly clearly. So I think what we want to be looking at now are not so much the details of proposals, but the areas of agreement and disagreement where we have fundamental disagreements and areas where our positions could be reconciled. That's all I want to say right now.
Thanks, Milton. I agree 100%. I hadn't seen that first agreement that you found, which was that the first two columns are reciprocal. Is a terrific observation of something where we agree, and I'm all for finding those right now because I think that it's on that we can build some stuff fairly quickly, I hope. Scott, hang on a minute. Kathy, Milton had some questions for you. Do you want to answer those, or shall we just record them and address them later? Either way is fine.
Thanks. I actually just pulled up the MMA proposal, and the concept of transferable and certain exceptions is in the proposal. Exactly what that meant isn't well defined. So I just wanted to say I found it in the proposal, but defining it or explaining it is definitely something that should happen going forward. So I thought it was an interesting concept, but I'm not actually sure exactly what it means. But I took the language from the MMA.
Okay, cool. Scott?
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. Just a couple of questions, actually. I noticed that in the Equal Access Principle Reserve, all of them are the same, it seems, except for PIR has a slight marketing variation. I don't know what that means in terms of efficient. I've been trying to keep up with the emails. The second thing is that at the bottom, the GNSO Council one references Recommendation 19. should we assume that recommendation 19 is included in all of the others? And if not, you know, what's the distinction there? And then I guess the other question I had was in equal access required and exceptions under that column. There's one on demand media that says, yes, SR, which I assume is single registrant, but then it says no MR, and I wasn't sure what MR referred to. And then there's my final question is on the back end registry column, the very next column. Under MMA, it says policy or the, and I just wasn't sure what material was supposed to follow the.
Kathy, do you want to tackle those? I can do some of them. I can do the last one.
Okay.
While you're cogitating about some of the earlier ones. The last one is just that cell has been truncated. The whole cell actually reads 15% if registry operator /RSP controls pricing, comma, policy or the selection of registrars for the TLD. And it's just that when it was put up on the screen in Adobe, it got chopped off.
Okay, then it just duplicates the one above it for JN squared.
Yeah.
For everyone looking at it this way, you may want, in the Excel, I had actually taken boxes that had too much text in them and made the text smaller. So if you go back to the original Excel that was circulated or will recirculate it again, the Excel will have the full text. Let's see, regarding recommendation 19, it comes from the GNSO Council report. It's been referred to many times. Whether every proposal that talks about equal access being preserved meant to do it exactly the same way as recommendation 19 phrased it, I don't know. Just as John Nevitt pointed out, that there's a granularity there, it's unclear. But certainly the embracing of the concept of the general principle seems to go all the way across the proposals.
Well, I guess my follow-up question would be, should each of them tell us their stand on Recommendation 19, if they're within it or if they're opposed to it or if they've expanded upon it? That may be something we need to report on when we deal with the GNSO.
Well, I think we would need to circulate Recommendation 19 for everybody. I know that when I joined the group, I was certainly wondering exactly what that referred to, having come in the middle of the discussion. So I think we should circulate that.
Recommendation 19 is a little wider than just equal access. It says registrars must be used.
That was Alan Greenberg, by the way.
Sorry.
Right at the top of this conversation, one of the things that came up was the thought that maybe each of the proposers ought to go through and just touch up their column or their row to make sure that Kathy and her all-nighter got it just right. And maybe what we should start doing is kind of developing a list of clarifications for folks so that when we send it out to get brushed up, we give it that kind of refinement, and that people can just go ahead and say, yeah, that recommendation 19 or more or less, as you suggested, Scott. You had two other questions in your list, Scott. Can you remind me of what those were? And maybe they may fall into the same category that we could just send clarifying notes.
One is already answered in it was PIR, and that was the question was slight marketing variation efficient. And I think that as you go to the next to the last column, it says it defines efficient marketing means that registrars may. So I think that covers at least the efficient aspect of that, and I'm assuming that's a slight variation. Then the only other question I had was the meaning of MR. Again, I'm trying to keep up with the alphabet soup, but just wondered.
I can do that one. I'm like the little kid in class sticking his hand up saying, I can answer that. That's multiple registrants instead of single registrants.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Scott. Jeff Newman, you're next.
Yeah, at the beginning of the discussion, and we're already falling into that danger, So when people look at that column on equal access, everyone's going, oh, yeah, everyone agrees with equal access, so we could tick off the box. What I emphasized, and I think what Keith emphasized the last call, and I think what I've written in a number of emails, is that if something changes, an assumption of the proposal changes, then that column may change. So, for example, in the J.N. Squared proposal, right, we have the 15%, but it also really should be control as opposed to a percentage number. But putting that aside, if that changed, so if the group agreed that Demand Media's proposal of 100% was the way we were going to go, then at least Neustar, so the one part of the JN squared, would say, okay, then our position on equal access changes to a no. So I think what you've got to ask the question of is, do each of the proponents, like if we say there's common agreement on something, you need to send that question out. You can't just assume because you read it in the chart. So there are a lot of assumptions that go into a number of these positions, and once you change the assumption, because you change an answer, then the others may change too. So I just don't want to be in the position of being stuck because it looks like in this column we have a consensus. And Alan just said call it tentative consensus, and I don't even think it's tentative consensus until you decide, at least from my perspective, until you decide the first most important question, which is what percent of ownership are you going to allow or control are you going to allow? Then the other things fold from there, in my opinion.
Jeffrey, I really want to jump on that last thought because that was exactly what I was thinking about as you were talking. Can we take a slight detour from the queue just for a second and throw out ideas as to what things have to be decided first so that those dependencies can then fall in place? Because I think, for example, if there's really only one, I don't mean it in any way to diminish it, but if there's really one primary dependency, which is the percent of ownership, it would help to know that sequence so that we could tackle those essentially driving decisions first and then have the subsequent decisions fall in place after
right.
that. So are there others?
So I was going to say, I mean, like one question you can ask people, which is a question a lot of people have written 15% or 0%. I'm ignoring the 100% for now. But of the people that said 15%, was the issue the actual percentage or is the issue control? And then if people say it's more control as opposed to the specific number, you know, then the number may not be as important. Or some people may actually mean the number and not the issue of control. But there's two issues, right? There's legal ownership, which is defined in terms of a percentage, but then there's also direct or indirect control, either by contract or otherwise. So you got to start with that. But I do think that that's the threshold question that everything else fits into. Because if you, for example, if you said if everyone went along with Demand Media's proposal, then it doesn't matter. I mean, you wouldn't need exceptions because it's 100%. You may not need exceptions. Right? So that is a threshold question, I think.
I just want to take a quick sense of the group and see if indeed there is essentially one or maybe one and a half, the ownership slash control question. Is that the driver? And if it is, would it be a good idea, not on this call, I think that's too ambitious, but would it be a good idea to target the next call to try and drive that issue to ground and, this week on the list to sort of have that argument again, really try and dig into that? Because I think that if we could get to a conclusion on that, the rest of this could then fall in place. I agree wholeheartedly, Jeff, with your point that people need to have the ability to change the rest of their proposal, that you shouldn't feel that you're locked into a statement on this matrix. This is just essentially the current status of things. But if there's really a gating issue like that and we could drive that to ground, I think that would make the rest of the process flow more easily. not hearing a whole lot of squawks to the contrary. I'll give you one more chance to just squawk to the contrary, and if not, then I think what we might try to do is really focus in on that issue for next week's call. And
Mikey, this is him. Can I squawk a little?
Go ahead and squawk. That's why I'm asking for it.
Yeah, I'm not really opposed to the idea. I guess I'm just not sure what it is we're doing. I mean, you know, 15% in JN squared means a different thing than 15% in some of the other proposals. And then, you know, this concept that's introduced now about, you know, back-end service providers or third parties that are providing some of the back-end services, whether that's database or DNS services or whatever. You know, and how does, you know, 15% might apply differently in that regard. So I guess I'm just not sure what it is we're trying to come to some agreement on.
One aspect of that
or all of that all together?
Well, to the extent that we can, you know, this is an iteration of Mikey's approach of, you know, let's iterate our way to success if we can. I think it would be useful to narrow our conversation for a while. I'm not sure that I know exactly how much to narrow it, but we could have that conversation on the list. And I think that the points you're raising, Tim, have to do with that. But presumably we could come to a conclusion about that. And then having arrived at sort of the width of our target, try to come to at least a tentative, nobody's cast in stone, but maybe possibly tentative way forward fairly soon. And recognizing that we've got really these two time periods. We've got the very near term time period defined by the board resolution and the DAG, and then we've got the longer time period where we can explore perhaps a broader range of issues. But if we could focus on the gating item in the near term and try and really hammer that one at least to a preliminary conclusion fairly soon, then I think that we simplify the job for the rest of this pre-Brussels conversation that we're having. How about that for a ramble? I'm going to shut up now and let Scott talk. Scott, why don't you go ahead?
Mikey, I think that was from my prior question, so I'm
good. Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
Christina?
I just wanted to kind of pick up on something that I think John and the two JNs both said, but differently, in the sense that I really think that John's idea about breaking down what is viewed, the interpretations of Recommendation 19, is really going to be very, very helpful in trying to figure out where we have consensus, where we don't. And simultaneously, I think that will give greater precision to the extent, as Jeff points out, certain changes will affect what that position becomes for different proposals.
Okay. Alan, you're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate or expand on a comment you just made of the two focuses of the short term and near term. The answers may well be different. Certainly from my perspective, I might answer differently on what I can live with on the first phase, you know, in terms of the initial release of new GTLDs, but it might not be the one I want to live with for the rest of our lives, you know, to paraphrase Tim. So I think when one phrases the question, you have to ask it carefully to make sure that you know what the answer means.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. Exhausted the queue. Here are several conclusions that I draw from the conversation so far, which is hats off to Kathy and the all-nighter. People are finding this a good, useful thing going forward. We'll figure out a mechanism whereby proposers can refine their answers. We'll also figure out a mechanism whereby some of the somewhat ambiguous parts of the table so far can be made more clear, like in the example of the Resolution 19. We'll try and pick a gating item. We'll try and frame a gating item conversation quickly on the list and start having that conversation on the list and try to spend most of the call next week, all my remaining fingers are crossed, driving it to ground. That would be, I think, another huge step forward.
Can I just make a request in that regard just quickly? That when we do that we try to keep that thread focused. And if someone wants to bring up a topic that's, you know, not really related or maybe related but not directly, that they do so in a separate thread, because sometimes these threads get crossed over and then you end up with two or three different things being discussed in the same subject thread. I think it's really difficult to try to follow or maintain any kind of cohesive thought as you're going through these things, because it keeps changing. So to the extent possible, if we could keep the thread separate, well, that would really help, at least me.
Yeah, I want to second that. You know, I have to admit this is a higher volume of email than I've coped with, and I'm having a tough time too. So maybe what we'll do is have a few folks kind of be vigilant, and everybody should sort of feel free to chime in and say, let's start a new thread on that and keep the one pure. Because this is hard enough without having, you know, incredibly complex threads to read through. I don't know. The queue is starting to build up. Christina, is that left over from before?
Oh, it is.
Okay. And then, Kathy, your hand's up. You go.
Yep. I agree with the last comment about keeping the thread separate and wanted to echo it with the table about keeping the column simple. So as we go into more detail, more granularity, I'd love to suggest that we create whoever winds up keeping the table, whether it's me or others, work really hard to keep the columns as simple as possible and not build up lots of detail in it. Break the columns out instead so that it remains easy to compare across the columns. So if there's a granularity of equal access, create columns for it. That's my recommendation.
That gets me to a question. You know, the rule about participation in the analysis team, Mikey, made up a rule out of whole cloth that said people who present proposals shouldn't be on the analysis team. I'm not sure that rule is necessarily important or necessary, and I think Kathy's work demonstrates that maybe that was a dumb idea. And I guess the reason I'm raising it now is because I hate to lose Kathy's energy and skill at all this stuff just because of a stupid arbitrary rule that I made up. So I'm curious if anybody feels really strongly about this or whether I can just forget that rule. Has anybody got opinions on that regard? Because I would like to have Kathy remain involved in this. Since she did such a fabulous piece of work on the first try. So, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I actually think that I wasn't even sure what the purpose or the need of the analysis team was, I think the most important thing is now that we have, you know, some sort of grid or column, and, you know, once we get everyone's, you know, proper opinions and the columns sorted, is for those people who put together the proposals to work together towards some sort of joint or analysis and figure it out and see where there could be common threads versus other people who are not proposers to come in, analyze it, try and figure out what was in the proposer's mind, put it together. And I think you're taking out a bunch of cycles by actually having the people who proposed it working directly on it and working together versus having separate people working on it and trying to figure out what the proposers meant. So hopefully I think that it would actually make sense if the analysis team was the actual proposers and not other people.
Well, yeah, that's another – actually, the analysis team has been asking Mikey that question, too.
I think it should be barring anybody. I don't want anyone to think that if you were in a proposal,
right,
you couldn't participate in the analysis team. But it should be comprised mainly of that is sort of was my idea.
Yeah. No, I think that's well taken. Milton?
Jeff said almost exactly what I was going to say, although I may want to emphasize another point, which is I'm not sure what the point of an analysis team is at this juncture. We have a matrix. We can work on it. We pretty much agree with the format. We're going to quibble about particular columns, and of course each proposer is going to quibble about how their proposal is characterized, but they're going to be pretty much in control of that anyway. So what exactly is the point of having a separate analysis team at this point? I don't see that there's any. I think our task, which I think we're maybe getting a little hypnotized by the sort of formalities of getting this stuff onto a matrix, but the point is, of course, to come to an agreement or to rule out certain options and to leave other options on the table. So what we have to be doing at this point is looking down those columns and seeing where we can come to an agreement and where we can't.
In the defense of the analysis team is also an idea that came from the head of Mikey out of whole cloth, and I tend to agree with your point. Well, the point that I really want to emphasize in what you just said, Milton, is that this is all about coming to agreement, and I am perfectly happy to simplify that process by essentially saying that at this stage the analysis team may not be needed and might even get in the way. So there's that thought. Ken?
Yeah, Mikey, as a matter of fact, I'm going to follow up with what Milton said. I'm getting concerned or was getting concerned about the optics that goes with the term analysis team and the fact that there might be implied more weight and value to any product that the analysis team would put out. So I would be more inclined to do what you said, and that is I question at this point in time whether we really need a, quote, analysis team at all. I think we're moving in the right direction, and the only thing you end up doing is punting something over to a smaller group that really doesn't have necessarily of the depth that it would have if the proposers were involved. And I'm afraid we really need to stay focused, and the analysis team could almost be a distraction in terms of time. Thanks.
I'm perfectly comfortable with where this is headed. I'm delighted with the progress that Kathy's matrix has made for us, and I'm perfectly fine with the notion of taking every obstacle out of the way of the main conversation, which is getting to that agreement and getting the folks who need to talk to each other talking to each other. To that end, so I'll take that as a if there is an analysis team, anybody can be on it, and B, maybe we don't need an analysis team at all, conclusion out of this. And we'll leave it primarily focused on the proposal advocates and a scribe to keep the chart up to date. Kathy, would you mind being the scribe, or would you like to hand that job to someone else so that you can focus on content? Because we can certainly find a scribe if you would rather not.
I would be happy to be the scribe, Mikey, but I'm also a proposal presenter. So if that's an area that you and the group would like someone more neutral in, I'd be happy to give that to someone else and then comment like everyone else about what goes into the squares.
Okay, you and I can talk about that offline and figure it out, and
okay,
we'll either let you do it or we'll have somebody else do it, but options exist. But then on to my next little thought, which is I hope we have folks from the three constituencies that put in constituency statements on the call. I think it would be really useful to add three rows to this matrix, those being the constituency statement proposals, if you will. But I want to throw that idea out there to get thoughts from folks. Tim?
Well, I was just going to say, there's still someone in the queue, possibly on the previous things we were talking about, if we wanted to catch that or not. A couple of them, actually, I think.
Well, Margie just came up. Ken, I thought that was left over from last time. If I skipped you, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I apologize. I didn't lower my hand, which I just did. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Margie, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I think we've only received three new constituency statements, right? The IPC, the ISP, and the VC, right?
Right.
I'm just wondering if you're getting any others. I know we got the registrar one during the public comment period, but I know that the registry position was issued a while ago, and I don't know.
Yeah, this is Brian. Can I jump in and answer that?
Sure.
People in the queue don't mind?
No worries.
Yeah, no, we actually circulated a draft. We came to some good faith disagreement about the matrix, and Jeff Newman's on the line, so I'm going to tell you, Jeff, that I ended up agreeing with your objection. If it's not an objection from the staff's perspective, I think the registry constituency may still come back with comments shortly, but right now we couldn't agree on some key points.
Okay. I'll just work my way through the queue and then see where we wind up. Jeff, you're next.
Yeah, I was just
unless you're...
I was going to follow up with what Brian said. So at this point, and kind of what Margie said, at this point, the statement that the registries had made a while ago, I think it was last April, is still the stakeholder group statement until something new gets filed. But you know, we didn't necessarily think it was that critical for us to file something new because that one was still out there. And at this point, it hasn't changed.
Ken Stubbs with a great point of order. If somebody could send the BC comments back out, I know people didn't receive it.
Oh, okay. It hit the list, I thought. But we'll send it to the list. I think Glenn sent it. I can't remember when. Recently, like today, I think. But anyway, it may be that it's
I rescinded it.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Tim, you're up.
Yeah, just in regards to the registrar statement, I mean, I just wanted to be, and maybe John Nevitt can help clarify it because I think he was instrumental in that, but I don't believe that we presented that as necessarily a consensus position of the registrar's constituency, but more a position that a number of registrars signed on to, but not necessarily an official position of the registrar's constituency. And another registrar, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I want to make sure and clarify the character of that
of that statement.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's Margie. Tim, if that's correct, you may want to have the registrar constituency or stakeholder group send in a clarification, because I believe Clark, when he submitted it to the public comment period, indicated that it was a registrar stakeholder group statement. And so absent some clarification that's, you know, in writing, it seems like that should stand. But I'm encouraging you to have a statement filed that clarifies that.
Yeah, I guess I would just want to find out when that vote took place, because I don't recall it, so.
I think the key on all of these is we need to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, because this is a pretty visible process, and we want to make sure that, you know, it's all very clear who was saying what. When? Jeffrey, go ahead.
Tim, we could take it off on, but I believe that was the statement. But here's a question. If we decided, as the registrars wanted to send an update, is there a timeline on that right now where we stand? Because I believe as what was submitted was the stakeholder position, but we may want to revisit that. Is there a timeline on that? I guess this is for Margie and others I know it's going to be as soon as possible, but is there, you know, another deadline that you had imposed for other groups? If you could just let us know.
This is Mikey. Let me rattle off sort of the situation. We had public comments and constituency statements kick off right at the beginning of this cycle. And the reason they didn't end on the same date is because the timing for one is shorter than the other. So the official end for constituency statements was last Friday, the 6th. And then I'll hand it off. There will be another round of public comment and constituency statements after Brussels, because remember, Brussels isn't really the fence post for this. The real fence post is somewhat after Brussels. And so there will be the second round of public comments and constituency statements. And that'll open and close the usual way, 30-day, whatever it is, period, but it'll be after Brussels. Now, Margie, in terms of a clarifying amendment,
yeah,
comment, statement, is there an avenue for that?
Well, Mikey, if I can clarify, I mean, it's not a staff thing. As the, you know, as the co-chairs, you guys can decide to extend that date. It's you know, and it looks like, you know, the registries are probably working on something as well. So it's you know, you guys tell us that that's the new deadline, and I think that's probably fine. So, you know, and in fact, I think we got some statements late last week anyways, after the date, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that's certainly in your purview. Mikey, I can't hear anything.
Thank you. I was on mute.
Okay.
I was very eloquent while I was on mute, too. The goal here is to get to an agreement, not to necessarily follow precise rules that were laid down quite a while ago. And so if Roberto and I probably need to huddle about this, but my immediate reaction is if there's more time needed to get that right, let's permit the time. Acknowledging at the same time the urgency of the situation that we're in. And so certainly no more than is necessary, but if there is a way to clarify that quickly, I think that's something that we can easily accept. There's Roberto. Roberto, what do you think?
Well, I hope I'm not on mute as well, but...
oh, you're good.
Okay. No, what I think is that we have to put deadlines, not because of chopping the discussion, but to give this sense of urgency of the timetable. I think that if one day after the deadline a constituency presents or a stakeholder group presents a position, I think that it will be wise if we accept it, because in any case, if a constituency or a stakeholder group has a view that is radically different from what we are building consensus on, sooner or later it's going to explode. And so we might well know in advance if there are any views that may potentially be dissentive of a consensus. So, yes, let's accept what I can call late statement, but with the invitation to constituencies and stakeholder groups to hurry up in present a statement and not wait too much.
Like he said. Jeffrey?
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to get, just also to clarify that for somebody like, the registrar, let's say the registrar stakeholder group, we can look at it, but, and it's, maybe we want to just see something on the record, but I don't think, as you said, I don't think if we come up with a, an official stakeholder group position that, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that it would be a huge change to how we would try and get together on some of these, because you could see, like, there's, as Kathy, like the four registrars, let's call it their position, Demand's position, and GoDaddy's position, they're all different, so it's not, and the registrars have been participating on this call, so I don't think that, unless if we don't have that registrar's stakeholder position, it's going to make a huge difference in the coming together and as we move towards Brussels, which, as you said, is just one part of it. So we can look at it. We'll look at it internally, but I wouldn't say we can't have further discussions or move ahead until that's posted.
Okay, that's great. Ken?
Yeah, I don't want to raise the specter of future meetings in Brussels, but I'd like for us to spend a few minutes at the end of this talking about this, primarily because a lot of people have plans and need to make sure that we can get rooms and tickets and everything like that, Mike. So please keep that as an open item until the end of this call.
Yeah, I will. We didn't have the right people on the call last Thursday to have that conversation, so we don't have a lot of news for you today, but we can certainly talk about it. Okay, so back to the point that I was raising that sort of triggered that discussion. What is people's reactions to the notion of adding constituency statements as rows to Kathy's table, just so we have those represented there in our snapshot view of the consensus? Is there anybody that feels strongly that that's a bad idea? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and get that organized.
Mikey, this is Brian. I'm not online, so put me in the queue wherever I am.
You're in the queue, and then off we go from there. So go ahead.
Okay. I think it's a bad idea from this very simple point of view. What we're seeing today through Kathy's good work is a clearer snapshot of the proposals. And, again, this is my own take, but I took the marching orders from the board effectively in Nairobi was for us to sit down at a table and come forward with a proposal, a consensus-based proposal, if we could achieve that and deliver it up to the GNSO. I just think adding constituency stakeholder group statements to this chart is going to muddy those waters. Already we've identified with, Kathy's good work here that the proposers still need to go back and maybe tweak here and tweak there for clarity's sake, but we add more material to this, I just fear it's going to become confused.
Okay, thanks. Christina?
Not unexpectedly, I disagree with Brian, and perhaps it's because in our circumstance, you know, the proposal that we put forth is a constituency-supported proposal, as opposed to me getting together with the other IPC members of the group and saying, here's what the IPC members of the working group think is a good model, but this doesn't have the support of the constituency, which, frankly, I think means that it doesn't carry or shouldn't carry as much weight. So I would just, you know, if you want to include other statements or not, I think, you know, that's completely up to the working group's discretion. But to the extent that a constituency or stakeholder group puts forth as a constituency or stakeholder group a model, I think it's important to include it.
This is Brian. Can I just reply there, Mikey?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to underline the fact that I am in violent agreement with Christina, as I usually am, with her compelling logic. What I meant to say, if I didn't say it, was if it's a proposal that's embodied in the stakeholder group's contribution that can be mapped out onto the chart the way the elements of proposals from individuals have been so far, then that's one animal. If it's comments of the stakeholder group that goes into rationales, justifications, historical fact, forward-looking conjecture, that was what I was just focused on, that not bringing that type of comment into the chart I thought would create, I thought that would create confusion. Does that help?
I
yes,
think that
does.
Helps
Thanks,
a lot.
Brian.
And I think that what I'm hearing is that if I saw Barry throw a disagree up, and so I'm wondering if we leave it like this. If the rapporteur for a constituency statement would like to have their constituency statement mapped into the matrix, we'll do it. And if they would prefer not to, or it doesn't really align with this structure, we won't. How about that? We'll leave that as my working hypothesis and see how that goes. I'm not hearing. I'm assuming that Ken and Jeff, your hands are left up for, right?
No, actually, I just wanted to make a comment on, it's Jeff here, on what you just said. And I think you sort of diverged a little bit. I'm in agreement with what Brian and Christina said, which was if there are proposals, we should put that on the matrix, but we should not put statements on there. And there's a distinction there, and you kind of crossed over it a little bit, and I think we should not put statements on there. We should put proposals only on there. And if it's a constituency proposal, yes, we should put it on, but if it's a position or a statement, then we should not put that onto the proposal matrix.
I stand corrected. I like that language a lot better. We'll do it that way. Okay, and Barry is saying plus one, and so I think we've gotten there. We're getting kind of close to the end of the call. I think we've made a lot of progress today. So I'm willing to draw a line under the discussion of Kathy's table for today and move on to a very brief conversation about the face-to-face meeting in Brussels, if that's okay with everybody else. Barry is saying analysis team meeting canceled. Yeah, partly Barry is asking that because he's taking care of his mom and will be in a car, and partly it's because of the earlier conversation, but yes, I think let's cancel the analysis for this time. Let me tell you what I know about the meeting in Brussels, which is I'm going to take my chair hat off for a minute and put on my Mikey opinionated hat and say that I would vastly prefer to not have a face-to-face meeting in Brussels at all, partly because of the logistical hassle, but partly because I think we're doing better if we can get this done on the list and on the recorded phone calls. I think it's a more even-handed and equitable way to do it. I think we have time, given the progress we've made, especially with Kathy's table, to get our work done. What we're going to be doing in Brussels is giving people an update on our status. We're not going to be presenting necessarily conclusions, and I think that we can march into Brussels having done our work online and on telephone calls with a pretty good update. The update will either be we were unable to arrive at consensus, that's our status, or we were, and here's what it is at this point in time. And then carry on post-Brussels with whatever knowledge we gain from that experience. So my personal first choice is no meeting face-to-face in Brussels, which I think makes it also much easier. The logistics are getting insanely complex to try and put us together face-to-face in Brussels. That said, Stefan wasn't on the call on Thursday last week, and so we just didn't talk about it because we needed to have Stefan, who, along with Glenn, is really working on the schedule. And so I'd just like to defer that one week, but sort of telegraph that inclination of mine. And now I'll put my ICOM, completely unbiased chair hat back on. Ken, do you want to comment, or is that left over from before?
No, I'd like to comment if I could. First of all, I was one who was concerned about the timing of Brussels. But I also have another concern, and I'm sure you're being very, very frank and short in the way that you describe what you might be presenting or saying to the community. But I'm going to put my hat on as if I was a board member or somebody who had who was looking very, very closely for some sort of a work product from all the effort that was put in. If the only thing I got was we either did or didn't come to consensus on this thing and we're working on it, and I was a board member and I had the pressure of trying to get new TLDs out and trying to get a very close look at what I was going to do with the original resolution I put in there, I would want very much to be able to have some sort of a synopsis of exactly what were the commonalities, what did you see there. You know, you couldn't arrive at consensus, but, you know, I need something more than just a sentence or a five-minute breakdown. I need something that I can take back and look at, because the board members from the very beginning, when we had Mike Silber and we had George on the call, it was quite clear that these guys are looking to see if there is real sincerity in trying to accomplish something in terms of the vertical integration. So I'm worried that we'll get all the way down to Brussels and we won't have anything tangible. And I don't think it's fair to just dump it in Margie's lap or in Mike Zupke's lap and say, okay, fine, you guys write a report for us. Because this isn't their report, it's our report. So that's why I have that kind of concern. It's not a matter of discriminating economically against those people who are on the call, because, by God, you can participate teleconference-wise in Brussels if it became it. But to just arbitrarily say, no, we're not going to have a meeting in Brussels, and then at the last minute wish like hell we had at least left a placeholder there. Thanks, Mike.
Well, there are a couple of things wrapped up in that. So let me tease them apart. First of all, I haven't taken it off the table. That's not my job. It's above my pay grade. But I did veer off and do a little personal editorializing. We are going to take it up next Thursday, or this Thursday, and see what we can figure out. So that's the status of that. It's not that it's off the table yet. And then the second thing about the work product, I think that what you're seeing in front of you is the beginning of the work product. You know, if somebody backed me in a corner and hit me with sticks and said, okay, Mikey, we have to have a report ready, I could pull an all-nighter and write a draft that we could circulate to the list and beat up, I'm sure, in a week and get to the point where we had a report. Partly because we're making such good progress on this matrix. So I don't want to sound Pollyannish, but I think that we are indeed making good progress. We have a heck of a email archive that displays unbelievable depth and conversation, and I think there's plenty of material to write a great report, and time enough yet to do it. Jeffrey.
Yeah, and maybe this is a question for Margie and ICANN staff, but given that the guidebook is due out, like May 31st or June 1st or somewhere around there, my guess is, or maybe it's a question, ICANN staff is going to have some sort of proposal in there to deal with the board resolution in the absence of anything else. So Margie can correct me if I'm wrong. But if that is the case, then I do think we will probably need a face-to-face to discuss that and how to deal with it. So if there is a proposal, I think we should have the time, because if there's a proposal, I think we're going to have to meet rather than scrambling. That's my thought. So maybe Margie can answer that question.
Margie, you want to have a go at that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know what the status of the draft applicant guidebook is, whether it will have a placeholder for the board resolution or not. I'll take that as something to check with the services team on, but I don't know where they ended up on that.
So given that, Mikey, I don't think we should cancel. I do think we should find a spot where the team could meet and figure out how we're going to deal with that, because at least what the board said in Nairobi was that they're going to move forward on that proposal, and it's got to come out now in this fourth guidebook, because that's the last one before the final. So until we get an answer to that, I think you should keep the placeholder.
Yeah, I hear you.
This is Brian. Can I jump in at some point?
Yeah, Stefan's next, and then you can jump in after him, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mikey. I just wanted to add some clarification to what Ken said. Ken asked if we or suggested that we should keep a placeholder just in case. I just wanted to say that we do need to decide quite quickly if the group is requesting some time, some face-to-face time prior to the council meeting, because Glenn and I need to finalize that draft agenda very quickly. So I'm not arguing in favor or against. I'm just saying the group does need to decide quite quickly if it does want to request that.
Thanks, Stefan. Brian.
Yeah, I want to pick up on Jeff's point and Margie with regard to the next version of the DAG. I think it was version 3 where we saw that the staff inserted into the DAG for this question a placeholder of its own that, in all fairness, created a lot of dissatisfaction around a number of the interested groups. I think it would be worthwhile. I know we've only got 3 days here, but it might be worthwhile for this group to communicate something to the staff now to prevent the staff having to try to grapple with revising their placeholder in the DAG and coming up with something new in the absence of concrete inputs from this group. I'm just concerned that if the staff feels it needs to evolve this again and we don't have a concrete proposal, it will only compound the confusion that exists right now in this question and what the ultimate rules are going to be. What are people's reactions to that?
Let's take a cue on that real quick, and then, Alan, I'll get back to you if anybody wants to comment on that.
My comment is half on that.
Okay, go ahead. Do the half that's on that.
Okay, first a question for Stefan, and Kathy asked it. When Stefan said the council meeting, do you mean the Wednesday council meeting or the Saturday or Sunday one? If he could just clarify what he meant.
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Okay, thank you. My belief, and I didn't even think about it, my expectation was that the applicant guidebook would come out with a placeholder saying, in the absence of some new and marvelous proposal out of the GNSO group, we will assume the board option of zero separation, of zero integration, and would define that in a little bit more clarity. But maybe I was dreaming in Technicolor. I didn't see what else staff could put in other than what the board said the default was. Sorry, that's it.
Okay. We're out of time, folks. Let's leave it like this. Margie, if you could get a reaction from the group that's working on the DAG as to what's likely to be in there. Stefan, Roberto, and the staff and I will work on a placeholder. We had one, and then we sort of touched off a firestorm of protest when we said Saturday morning, or whenever it was, Saturday afternoon, I can't even remember. We'll take a look at the schedule. It has many moving parts. We'll try and find a spot and put a placeholder in. I think Jeff's point is compelling that you know, we may need the time to react to either that circumstance, the DAG placeholder, or some other circumstance. So we'll put it in as best we can. And I do want to set the expectation that we're not going to please everybody, because we've got just conflicting meetings all over the place here. And we'll report back to you next week. Thanks, folks. It's 1 minute past the end of the meeting. I think we had a great conversation today. Oh, Tim, you want to get the last word in?
Maybe this is Tim. I just wanted to, because I raised the issue about the registrar statement, so I was scrambling to try to figure that out. And I just want to make sure and clarify that I was wrong, that we did do a straw poll in Seoul, but that was actually followed up with an actual vote within the registrar stakeholder group. So the characterization of that as the stakeholder group's position was correct, and I want to make sure and clarify that since I kind of raised that question. Thanks.
Ah, thanks. That's great to get on the record of this call. I appreciate it. Okay, that's it, folks. Thanks a million. I think we're actually perking along just fine. Kathy gets the gold star of the day for her matrix, and we'll see you in a week.
Thank you, Mikey.
Mikey, this is Glenn. Sorry, to check that the analysis call is canceled.
Yes, we'll cancel the analysis call.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye.